taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. I'm sure by now all of you have heard about, have seen reports about what's been going on in Minneapolis. As I've said before, this is not a news program. I am not jumping on news items as they pop out, but this is an analysis program. And there's been plenty of information coming out of Minneapolis, and not just dealing with the case of the officer involved in the death of George Floyd, but in the recent shooting death of Dante Wright. As I said, this is an analysis program. I wanted to take the time to see what's going on, not simply with the case, but actually I want to look at the reaction to the shooting and see what we can learn from it, especially from a constitutional, a rights and a liberty standpoint. Now, if you haven't heard, there was a gentleman by the name of Dante Wright. He was identified as the victim of a shooting. He was shot by police officer Kim Potter this past Sunday afternoon. The reports that I've read involved, he was pulled over for a traffic stop. When they ran his name, they found that he had an outstanding warrant. When the police tried to take him into custody, he broke free from their grip, got into the car and tried to get away. The officer threatened to tase him when she pulled an arm and actually fired a pistol round, which killed the gentleman. Reports say that from the video, I guess they have the body cam video. I haven't watched that video, but I've seen reports that said the individual was trying to get back into his car and leave, and that the officer intended to tase Mr. Wright to put him in custody, mistakenly drew her sidearm and fired a lethal round. That's terrible. It's listed as an accidental discharge that took the life of Mr. Wright. This is supported by the video where she's repeatedly saying, "I'll tase you, I'll tase you, I'll tase you." Then when the shot rang out, she cried an expletive and said she shot him. Apparently, it's looking like that was a mistake. It's a terrible mistake. It's a tragic mistake, but it was a mistake. And in that, and I don't want people to forget, this is in the background of the trial for the death of, for the officer charged with taking the life of George Floyd. So what we saw Monday night and possibly continuing on is something we can expect to be repeated. Now, what happened in response to this, based on the reports that I've seen, is initially people came out to protest. They were upset with the shooting. There were several claims made that it was people out to shoot black men, police officers out to shoot black men. Again, no evidence, but they have the right to peaceably assemble. They have the right to express their opinion. However, that evening it devolved into riots. I've seen several reports talking about protests. There were protests. There were also riots. And what I found, one thing I found that both interesting and disturbing is the reports about the protests erupting because the police shot a black man. That to me is racist. If this young man lost his life illegally, if it was done improperly, it shouldn't matter what color his skin is. Black, white, yellow, green, orange, purple, it shouldn't matter. If someone's life was taken by a government agent, by anyone, without proper cause. That should be investigated. If there was a crime committed, it should be charged, and they should be, if they're convicted, they should be punished. Period. End of story. I'm sick and tired of every time something happens to a black person, all the racists come out and scream, it's the blacks, it's against the blacks. I don't care the people that say that blacks can't be racist. That's ridiculous. If it's only worth protesting this man's death because he is black, then you're a racist. And if you don't like that, well, then maybe it's time you took a look at your decisions and decided if it was more important that a black man died or that a person running from police was shot when he should have been tased. That's one thing I want to bring up, is that it is just as racist to protest only black shootings as it would be to protest only white shootings. It is just as racist to demand, quote unquote, justice because the person was black as it would be to deny that person justice just because they were black. You know, racism is alive and well in America, but unfortunately, we're not talking Jim Crow. We're talking politicians and media and many Americans who only care if someone is black. Only care if someone is shot by police if they're black. Forget the evidence. Forget the statistics. All right, so we've got this racist element to this. And again, I expect very similar protests to happen and riots to happen, whatever the verdict in the case of the officer charged with killing George Floyd. So we have these, again, they're labeled protests. They are not. They are riots. And during these riots, people are claiming they want justice for Dante, justice for Dante. Well, I have a question. You know, you keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. You know, it's one thing to stand up and say, listen, we think this shooting was wrong. We think this shooting may be racially motivated. Okay, where's your proof? Find evidence. But what we have are these demonstrations, these protests that either are joined into or taken over by people who are ransacking stores, throwing bottles, damaging public property. Let me ask you, how is that justice for Dante? If Dante's life was illegally taken, justice involves the accused being given a fair trial, being proven guilty, and then being punished. It does not involve damaging innocent people's property. It doesn't involve damaging property owned by the public. If you think this is racially motivated, why are you going into black neighborhoods and damaging property owned by black business owners? Why? This has nothing to do with justice. This is a temper tantrum. This is what you expect from a 2-year-old when they don't get their candy. Apparently about 40 people were arrested in the Brooklyn Center area after the shooting. It got so bad, the city invoked a curfew to put it down. Now, I find this interesting because now the city is going to has infringed on the rights of innocent people in an attempt to quell a riot that was being observed and not dealt with by law enforcement. There is video of law enforcement. Now, not all of them. We do see people being arrested. I'm not saying but too often we see these riots going on and we see law enforcement standing back. And I heard one person describe it as, well, they don't want to throw gasoline on a fire. Well, if you're standing there and watching someone else throw gasoline on the fire, well, that's a dereliction of duty. And I'm not at all surprised. The past summer, how many cities burned while police stood back and watched? While elected officials, people that we hire to protect us, to exercise our sovereign power, told the law enforcement officers to stand back and watch people's lives destroyed, their property destroyed, their livelihoods destroyed, in order to allow a temper tantrum to hopefully burn itself out. How many times do we have to see the lesson that that does not work? You do not make a crime better by committing more crimes. So what do we have? We have crowds of people, many of which I'm sure were there simply in support of Dante, in support of his family, wanting to seek justice, believing something terrible had happened and wanting to seek justice. But within that was a group of people who were, they weren't interested in justice. I don't care how much they shouted justice for Dante. How is stealing cell phones justice for Dante? How is throwing bricks and damaging businesses, looting businesses that had nothing to do with Dante Wright, that had nothing to do with the officer involved in the shooting, in many cases don't even have anything to do with the city itself. How is that justice? It's not. And it's about time everyday Americans stop looking at this and going, oh, look at those poor people, they're upset, we'll go let them loot and pillage and destroy. They're like Genghis Khan sweeping through a town, burning everything in sight, and we're supposed to sit back and say, that's okay. And the people we hire to represent us, well, it's okay if they say, everybody just sit back and let these people, what, wear themselves out? And what about the rights of the people who own these businesses? The Target, the Boost Mobile, the Verizon Mobile, the Dollar Tree. There's video footage of these places being looted, in some cases burned. What about their rights? How is it justice for an innocent business owner to have their property destroyed and damaged in the name of a temper tantrum? See, these riots are basically temper tantrums on steroids. You know, these are not protests. These are people who have learned that if they come out in mass, and if they happen to be black, and if they happen to do it around the killing of a black person, they can get away with theft and looting and destroying property. And like any two-year-old who you let have a temper tantrum, they're going to figure out if you give them what they want, they'll do it some more. So I blame the people who have turned the opportunity of the death of a young man with conditions that are still being found out. Again, it doesn't look very good for the officer, but she still deserves her day in court. And before even an investigation has barely been started, you have people taking the opportunity to loot and pillage. And cities are letting this happen. In fact, again, city officials, people hired by the citizens of that city, are letting this happen. So as much as you may want to look at the police, or you may want to look at the city mayor or anyone else, take a look at yourselves. You hired these people. Are they doing a good job? Because if not, what are you doing about it? So we have these riots going on because of the death of a black man. We have a city with, you know, we have businesses looted, damaged, burned. We have, in some cases, an inconsistent response from the law enforcement that were hired to protect us. I always laugh when people say, you don't need firearms because, well, we've got police. Except, what good is the police to protect you if they stand back while the mob is burning your place down? And in all of this, I keep hearing people saying, again, justice for Dante, justice for Dante. Again, they keep using that word. Do they have a clue what it actually means? Now, I looked it up in the Free Legal Dictionary. You'll find that justice is the proper administration of the law, the fair and equitable treatment of all individuals under the law. So, what is this justice they're seeking? Is it proper administration of the law to say, hey, a black man was killed, so let me go rob a store? How is it justice for Dante? How is it justice for his family? Now, the family will never get Dante back, and I don't know anything about Dante. All I know is that he was pulled over, he had an outstanding warrant, and he tried to get away from police, and an officer apparently unintentionally overreacted and killed him. But if we want justice, that means getting what's fair, what's right, what's equitable. Is it equitable for the store owner to pay for the actions of a police officer? Put yourself in that situation. Let's say that your neighbor, their house or their apartment gets broken into and they get robbed. They lose, cell phone, stereo, cash, whatever. Well, would it be right for that neighbor to come into your house and take your stuff because they had been robbed? No. But that's exactly what we have happened, is we have neighbors that are upset taking that opportunity to steal from their neighbors. Now, they may justify it because it's a business. Doesn't matter. That business is owned by somebody. That's someone's livelihood. That's how people put food on their table, on their family's table. You are taking that away from them because you're pissed. That is the actions of a two-year-old. They're acting like children. You know, when I was a child, if I didn't get my way, I might try to throw a temper tantrum. I say try because I didn't get away with it. I learned the proper way to deal with frustration as an adult is to try to mitigate the frustration and then try to get around the frustration. So I'm with the people and the family that want to find out exactly what happened, want to, if it's actually happened, want to prove that the officer did wrong, and if they can prove the officer did wrong, to see that officer punished. We haven't gotten anywhere. We haven't even started there yet. There's been an investigation is now being undertaken. They're interviewing people. They've got body cam footage. The officer has already been relieved of their duty, so they're not out on the street. What more do you want? What more do you want the city to do at this point? The officer hasn't been convicted yet. Again, the investigation's barely begun, and people are rioting. And I think this happens in part because we have turned into an aggrieved culture. We seem to have people who find any excuse to be aggrieved and use that as an excuse to root, to riot, to loot, to damage, to steal, to take away from others, to demand compensation for something they never lost. And to do it simply because the man was black is just as racist as if it was done only because the man was white. Now, if there is evidence, right, that the officer committed a crime and the officer is not charged, does that give you an excuse to loot? No. What did the business owner do? Why are the innocent people being asked to pay for the actions of potentially criminals. And the fact that we live in these cities and we sit back, we watch this happen and do nothing about it means it's our fault. You will always have bad actors. There will always be people in government, there will always be people in the law enforcement, and there will always be people that are simple civilians that are bad actors. If this officer that shot and killed Dante Wright did so unintentionally, and it is, there's evidence, and she's charged with probably something along the lines of involuntary manslaughter, and she's convicted and punished, you've got justice. If some sort of compensation can be made to the family, maybe to provide for this man's small child, well, then you've got justice. But stealing from your neighbor is not justice. Neither is the government punishing the law-abiding citizens who are just trying to keep their heads down because they, and part of me understands this. I understand you've got law enforcement, you've got a very dynamic situation. In many cases, I believe they've let this go out of, they may have let this get out of control. When it started out small, when these riots started out small, even going back to last summer, and they didn't deal with them, hoping they would just go away, they were fools. And now that they've grown, now what they're instead of simply punishing the criminal who is rioting and looting and stealing, now they're punishing the innocent by putting a curfew in place. Now again, a curfew is illegal. To deprive you of your liberty without due process of law is a violation of the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments. It's a violation of the supreme law of the land. It's illegal. I understand the tactical reason for it. Right? If you're a law enforcement officer, you don't want people out on the streets in that situation. One, they could get hurt. They could get caught up in the riot. They could get hurt. Also, the law enforcement could look at them and say and think they are part of the riot when they're just bystanders going about their business. So they don't want more people on the street to continue to enlarge the riot. They don't want people to be caught up in something and either be hurt or be arrested. I understand the logic of it. But we're supposed to be a country of laws. And the law says the government cannot deprive you of your liberty without due process. I'm going to talk about due process a little bit after the break. But what really concerns me, I was chatting with someone last night who lives, I believe, in Minneapolis, is this is a foreshadow. This is a foreshadow of what anybody that I know of that has any imagination, any can look at what's going on. This riot, if not this size, probably worse, is going to happen regardless of the ultimate verdict in the case of the death of George Floyd. If the officer is convicted, people will riot because, I don't know, maybe he didn't get a big enough punishment. If he's acquitted, people are certainly going to riot because, well, they're going to scream no justice. Kind of ignoring the part that the whole idea of a criminal system, of your day in court, of the ability to present evidence, of the ability of the accused to compel witnesses in their favor, is to ensure justice. Which, to me, I think is part of what's going on. See, we've gotten so much ingrained in this idea of you've got to have racial justice or social justice or economic justice. We forget that the Constitution was created to establish justice. Just plain justice. Justice means that the government does not violate the rules to infringe on your rights. Justice means that when somebody commits a crime, they have their day in court, they have the assistance of counsel, they have the opportunity to compel witnesses, that they are judged by a jury of their peers, at least supposedly, that it is not the state that actually convicts the criminal. It is the citizens on the jury that ultimately come up to that decision. You see, if we want justice for us, we have to be willing to give justice to others. That means we're not always going to get what we want. We're not always going to get the outcome we think is best. But it is how we ensure liberty and justice for all. So as we head out to a break, I want to remind you that all of my shows go to podcasts usually a day or two after the broadcast is heard. Now you can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeartRadio Podcast, many, many more. So be sure to subscribe and rate. Please rate the show on Apple Podcasts. That helps the show. It helps our numbers. It helps our view around the world. So if you can do that, I would appreciate that greatly. And I'll see you right after the break.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. That's right, you're here at the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, and we teach the rising generation to be free. We've been talking about what's been happening in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis area in Minnesota, focusing primarily on the shooting this past weekend of Dante Wright, and more accurately, the aftermath. How are we dealing with this? And we talked about the idea of justice, how it is not just to take your frustrations out on an innocent bystander, how that's actually childish, that's a temper tantrum, and it is not justice for government officials to allow that to happen. But I'm distressed to see not only a group of citizens that are acting like children, acting like two-year-olds that are throwing a temper tantrum without all the facts, that are crying for justice while committing injustice on their neighbors. But there's a report that's come out of the city of Brooklyn Center in Minnesota that really disturbs me. See, the city manager, a Kurt Bogani, was fired. The city council of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, fired the city manager and handed the police control over to Mayor Mike Elliott. The city council announced effective immediately, our city manager has been relieved of his duties and the deputy city manager will assume his duties moving forward. Now, it's not the fact that the city manager was fired that disturbs me. based on his effectiveness in the job, maybe that was the right thing to do. But what disturbs me is the timing. You see, Bogani had called a press conference shortly before the meeting where he said it was too soon to determine or to discuss the termination of the officer who had accidentally shot Mr. Wright. Quote, employees are entitled to due process with respect to discipline. This employee will receive due process, and that's all I can say today. And then shortly thereafter, he's fired. Now, I say this a lot in my teaching events. You see, it is actually more important that I protect your rights than I protect my own. It's more important that we get in the habit of protecting the rights of people, of other people, especially people we disagree with, for one very simple reason. See, Benjamin Franklin, after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, said, "We must all hang together, or we will assuredly hang separately." And here you have a situation where an officer is being, there's pressure to hang this officer out to dry, to deny her. Let's forget the due process. Let's forget her day in court. We'll simply fire her before we've even done an investigation. Now, I understand the motive. I understand the emotion. I understand the desire to do something, to see this, and be ready to punish. But imagine you're on the other side of this event. Imagine you are charged with something. You are accused of a crime. And before you've even, the investigation is even completed, forget your day in court, before they've even completed the investigation, you are effectively convicted and punished. Now, is losing her job the total punishment she could receive for her actions? No. But is it? Are we really becoming a nation where the rule of law, where due process is only for me and I will not extend it to you? Now, people ask me this all the time. They ask you, well, what is due process? Well, again, I'm going to go to the dictionary. In this case, again, I'm going to the free legal dictionary. And due process is defined as an established course of judicial proceedings or other governmental activities designed to safeguard the legal rights of the individual. So imagine you're at work one day and someone accuses you of doing something wrong. They may even have evidence. Heck, they may even have video. But what they don't necessarily have is context. Imagine being fired because of an accusation that has not been proven yet. By the way, I have been fired based on the opinion of certain people without any evidence of actual doing something wrong, but that's not my point. My point is, if you want due process, if you think you should be proven guilty before you lose your job or before you face public punishment and ridicule, well, if we're not willing to extend that to others, then this is not the land of the free. Because whoever has the biggest mouthpiece, whoever has the most influence, who can ever make the biggest stink, will get what they want, and due process goes out the window. And without due process, not only can government fire you without cause, government can arrest you without cause, they can convict you without cause, they can punish you without cause. Due process, this very idea that government cannot act either legally or governmentally against you without making sure that they protect your rights. This officer has a right to her day in court. I don't care how compelling the evidence is against her. She has a right to her day in court. Just as you do and just as I do. And until a jury of her peers convicts her, she is innocent until proven guilty. But because of the emotional outburst of a group of people, we're ready to simply throw that aside because we don't want to deal with the temper tantrum? What is the effect of terminating this officer without even completing an investigation? Is it she's like raw meat to throw at the crowd and hopefully they'll settle down? Or is it just you hope the crowd eats her first and they'll come and eat you later? Capitulating to depriving one citizen of their due process in order to placate, in some cases, an angry mob, a riotous mob, a bunch of criminals, is itself criminal. These are not the actions of a government that is there to protect your rights, to ensure your due process. How often have I talked about not being deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process, without a process that protects your rights? Well, if we're unwilling to protect the rights of someone else, even someone we disagree with, there will be nobody left to protect our rights when we're on the chopping block. If we will not protect this officer's due process, we are not a country of rights and liberties and laws. And if a city is going to fire their manager simply because he wants to protect the rights of one of his citizens, that's not allowed. Why? Because she was a police officer? I thought we were all equal. I thought all men were created equal. I thought we were all endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. What happened to that? What happened to equal protection of the law? Oh, it's equal protection as long as it's for me, but if it's somebody else, if it's a law enforcement officer, if it's a government official, or if it's just somebody I disagree with, or somebody of a different color, to heck with it. We're not equal. This is the type of thinking that has led this country to be led by mobs. This is why cities burn, because we're going to let mobs run, because we've let this idea that due process and justice are just whatever makes me happy. Justice is whatever makes me happy. What I want, that's justice. Anything else is not. Is that really where we've fallen? Have we fallen to the point where I will not protect the due process rights of anyone else because I'm that narcissistic? I'm that self-centered. I'm that egotistical. Is that really where America has fallen to? Now, I believe the vast majority of Americans, if they were to take the time and sit and think, would recognize the importance of protecting the due process rights of this officer, and if she is convicted, making sure she's punished for her crime. Due process doesn't mean you get away with something. It just means the state actually has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt not only that this officer committed these actions, but that they were a crime. They violated the law. And right now, the evidence is really strong from what I've seen. But there's a saying in the Bible that says, you know, what one man says seems right until you hear the other side. And if we're not going to hear the other side, then we're not interested in justice. We're interested in revenge. The Pledge of Allegiance doesn't say, and liberty and revenge for all. It says liberty and justice for all. And if we are not going to ensure justice for this officer, who's going to stand around and ensure justice for the Dante Wrights? Now, I'm sure there are bad apples. I know there are bad apples in police departments. Probably just about every police department has to have at least one or more bad apples. And they should be found, and they should be charged, and they should be tried, and they should be punished. But punishing this officer without protecting her rights is just as wrong as what happened to Dante Wright. Apparently. just as rioting and destroying private property because you don't like what somebody did is wrong. It's criminal. And until we the people demand our employees in government, our servants in government, uphold the laws that we've created, that act within our consent, that make these things happen, riots are not going to become less frequent. They're going to become more frequent. And the people who are acting like the overgrown two-year-olds, and by the way, if they're insulted by that, they should be. The idea that a grown adult will throw a temper tantrum because they didn't get what they want is childish. The idea that, I mean, I have a hard time even with the concept that someone believes it is the proper response to an injustice to rob an innocent bystander. I mean, if you're walking down the street and someone comes up and mugs you, you're basically saying, I have the right to go steal from the person who's walking by afterwards. That's what these looters are doing. Target and Dollar General and Boost Mobile had absolutely nothing to do with the death of Dante Wright. Why are you stealing their stuff? And for the citizens of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, why are your hired employees telling law enforcement to stand back, let the children riot, let them destroy, let them steal from their neighbors, and not do anything about it? Oh, but if they go in and start arresting people, it'll inflame things. Things are already inflamed. You know, sometimes you got to step up and do the right thing because it's the right thing, not because it's the easy thing. The people are rioting, were rioting in Brooklyn Center because they had reason to believe they could get away with it. The rioting got as large as it did, and the rioting that happened in Portland last year, that happened in Minneapolis last year, and that I expect to happen in Minneapolis later this year, is as big and as violent because we have shown them time and time again that there are not consequences for what they're doing, or at least the odds of getting caught and being punished are extremely small. What happened Monday night in Brooklyn Center was not simply a reaction to Dante Wright. It was the logical outcome of years of people being allowed to riot without consequence. Probably decades of people being allowed to riot without consequence. You cannot tell people over and over and over again, if you do a crime, we will not punish you, and not expect them to do that crime. That's just as true with rioting as is with violating the speed limit, as it is with any other crime. So when I'm looking at what's going on in Minneapolis, on the one hand, I'm sad for what happened to Dante Wright. I don't know what the warrant for his arrest was out for. I don't know anything about the man. I don't know his character. What I do know is he has a mother and a child, a small child, a mother that no longer has a son, a child that no longer has his father, and that it appears that may have been done illegitimately, illegally. But to use that wrong to justify harming others, stealing from others, is worse. To take this man's mother and his child and hold them up as an excuse to loot and pillage and steal, to harm others, that's disgusting. That's not a civilized society. But that is what is being tolerated. And for everyone pointing again at the city manager and the chief of police and everyone else in Brooklyn Center, remember, they work for the citizens of Brooklyn Center. The buck stops with the citizens of Brooklyn Center. And the citizens of Minneapolis and the citizens of Minnesota and, in, as we look at the country, the citizens of the United States. The buck stops with us. So if you want to make sure that this officer is punished for what she has done, you had better make sure that she that is done so fairly. That she is investigated, charged, tried, convicted by a jury of her peers, and then punished. Otherwise, we're not a free country. Then we're a little more than a banana republic. And if you want to know why I am so vehement that this officer be given her day in court, I want to recite for you a poem by a gentleman by the name of Martin Niemöller. He wrote this, I think it's near the end of World War II. And I think it's a perfect example of why we have to demand not only justice for Dante Wright, but justice for the officer that shot him. The poem goes, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." If I would be allowed to take this poem and bring it into today, I would say, first, they came for the business owner. And I did not speak because my business was not robbed. Then they came for the law enforcement officer, but I did not speak out because I was not a law enforcement officer. Then they came for me, and although I screamed and cried for my rights, for justice and due process, I was left alone. And there was no one left to speak for me. These people who are rioting are eating themselves alive. And these government officials that are falling all over themselves to punish an officer before she has been tried and convicted are eating themselves alive. They are eating us alive. They are removing our protections, because if that officer can be convicted, can be punished without conviction, what's to stop you? Now, sadly, this was not the only shooting that took place in the last few days. There was another shooting in Knoxville, Tennessee. I believe it happened Monday afternoon. There was a student. There was a report of an armed person in a high school. Part of me wonders, you know, why being armed is such a scary thing, but that's a discussion for another day. Police officers came. They found the person was inside a restroom. The person refused to comply and come out after being ordered repeatedly. The person then fired shots and hit an officer. Now, let me back up for just a second here, because I don't want to get the wrong impression. If this is a public school, then there's a great debate about when we are actually endowed with certain unalienable rights. And the Declaration says that we are endowed by our Creator. The question is, We limit the exercise of rights of minors. And we do it generally because they're not prepared. They're not prepared to either exercise those rights in a proper manner to assert them properly, or they aren't cognizant of the consequences. So the question of whether or not what appears to be a student brought an arm into school and, you know, is that protected by the Second Amendment, or do we recognize that under a certain age, certain rights are restricted? That's a discussion again for another day. But this person had a firearm in school. But to me, the person that this student troubled, apparently, that they as they were, the first thing they did truly wrong was to fire at an officer. This officer entered the restroom and was shot and wounded. And thankfully, it appears that this officer, although wounded, will survive, will make a recovery. And the officer very legitimately responded by shooting back and killing this student, which is sad. I feel for the student's parents. I fear for their siblings, the rest of their family, friends, neighbors. I knew a family where there was actually a suicide. It is traumatic. I was friends with this person. It's a difficult time. But I wonder what makes a difference between this shooting in Knoxville, Tennessee, and the shooting in Minnesota. Why did the shooting in Minnesota turn into riots? And as far as I know, that didn't happen in Knoxville. Now, again, as of my recording this, they haven't identified the student that was shot. I can't refer to them as a victim. Their shooting was the direct consequence of them shooting someone else, of using a weapon to attempt to deprive someone of their life, their liberty, the property they have in their body. This student threatened the life of another individual. That individual defended themselves, and now the student is dead. And as sad as that is, I can't refer to the student as a victim because he was not. It was the logical outcome. It was a logical consequence of his actions. I believe it was a he. Because they haven't identified the person. Which makes me wonder. The cynical part of me makes me wonder, is it because that the student that was shot wasn't black? Is that why they haven't been identified yet? Is that why there haven't been riots in Knoxville? And again, I have no proof. I'm simply speculating. Could that be the reason? So here's what I would like you to do. I would like you over the next several days to keep your eye out on what's going on in Minneapolis and in Knoxville. To ask yourself, should Officer Potter be punished before she's even charged? If we won't protect her due process rights, who will protect our due process rights? And for the officer that was involved in the shooting in Knoxville, we should offer that officer the same consideration. Because both officers will now have to live the rest of their lives dealing with the fact that they have taken a human life. Officer Potter will have to deal with, again, what appears to be the terrible mistake she made, reaching for her taser and grabbing her sidearm. I haven't seen a report of I don't know who the officer in Knoxville was, but they're going to have to live with the knowledge that they were forced to take the life of a young person. They will have to live with those consequences. And that's a heavy burden. Let's not add to it the burden of unjust punishment, of seeking retribution rather than justice, of ignoring due process to punish somebody we're unhappy with. let us heap all of the blame on those who are rioting for the damage that they do. But let's give them the very same due process. Let us make sure they are arrested, they are charged, they are tried, and if they are convicted by a jury of their peers, then they are punished. Because if we will not protect the rights of others, there will be no one left to protect our rights. So I want to remind you before I go that you can find more out about my show, all the latest podcasts, all at AmericaOutloud.com. Just look under our shows for the Constitution Study, or look for my name, search for my name, Paul Engel. But I also want you to check out another site that I run called ConstitutionScholars.com. That's scholars with an S, it's plural. And this is a place where people who are interested in learning about the Constitution, that's what scholar means, a scholar is a student, that are interested in being students of the Constitution can go, they can find others. You see, many people feel all alone. They feel like they're the only one that cares about these things. They're the only ones that care about rights and about liberty and about helping others. And I know I feel that way sometimes. So I set up the Constitution Scholars as a place where we can find each other. You can join the national group, which covers the U.S. Constitution, or you can join your state group. You can find other scholars in your state, maybe become friends online, maybe set up some events or meetups. But this is a place where you can learn and can share. So there's a free library, there's some free classes, but you can share information and discuss it with others. So check that out, constitutionscholars.com, and I'll see you here next time at the Constitution Study.